Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Okay, good afternoon, good evening. Good evening, everybody. I'm Kay Thompson, and welcome to Kay Thompson Live. And I'm alone tonight. Eric Payne is not here. He is on assignment. There's a lot of things going on. What with the celebration for, the March on Washington, the 50th year? Boy, I'm telling you, everything is going on. By the way, we're going to be receiving a call from Attorney Munyin Jackson, and I forgot to give the number in to the people in the control room, so I have the number right here. She's going to be calling in about 5 minutes, and Eric is going to be calling in with he's on assignment, as I was saying. A lot of things going on, everyone. I was reading the special for the March on Washington, and this was in the USA Today edition, and what so much good information from it. As a matter of fact, what I did on the on my website, I think, was to put down that we were going to be talking about a brand new powerful movement. And that brand new powerful movement involves, as a matter of fact, all of the different kinds of organizations that got together and they were moving and doing things separately during the first March on Washington. By the way, the first March on Washington, I was there. Yes, that was some years ago. And, was there. Very young, but I was there and really enjoyed it and really was quite taken with what was going on. And that march, was almost a culmination of those of us who were, activists at that particular time. And so I was reading this newspaper, and as a matter of fact, it's a whole thing about the March on Washington. And this is it's a special edition from USA Today. And the cover is The March on Washington. And they have a number of different articles in here that talk about, one of the things that they're talking about is a brand new powerful movement. And this was an article written by Melanie Eversley, I think, from USA Today. And the title is Activists Learn Lessons from the Past. And you might be interested in reading this. It's really absolutely fascinating because they talk about the shooting death of Trayvon Martin. And what's happening is that these civil rights advocates, and many Americans are upset that George Zimmerman was acquitted in the February 2012 incident. They thought the case was a cut and dried example of racial profiling. And I'm getting this from, the USA Today special edition, really very complete. So we're going to be talking about that. We are also going to be talking about, Reverend Al Sharpton's involvement. And he has had a long-term involvement with this, as you know. So what else? Let me just see. Oh, and talking to Attorney Munyin Jackson, you're going to find out some interesting things also. Now, also with this same article, now this is their quoting the NAACP's Benjamin Jealous, who says that he and other civil rights leaders usually talk weekly. And in other words, what's happening is that they have formed a powerful group of people heads of organizations, who talk together quite frequently. Before some of the civil rights organizations, they were, private, not private, but separated from one another. Right now, something is happening that could not have happened a few years ago, so says Melanie Eversley from USA Today. Then she says that the heads of some of the civil rights organizations are getting on their cell phones to call each other's private numbers and talk things out. Each of them wants to know what the other heard, where they think they should go next. That's the theme of a united front. Do you hear me? A united front of several civil rights organizations, okay? For instance, in the past years, the heads of the National Urban League, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, and other major civil rights organizations have been working more closely together on pressing issues. They marched together to draw attention to New York City's controversial stop and frisk policy. We're going to be mentioning some of that tonight, too. And that gives police latitude to stop anyone, as you know, to stop anyone they deem suspicious. And lo and behold, as this we're surprised to hear, that they deem people who are African American, black and brown people, you know, as very suspicious. So what's happening is that these organizations have gotten together. They're working more closely together on these pressing issues. They march together to draw attention to the New York City's controversial stop and frisk policy, which gives police the latitude to stop anyone that they deem suspicious. There we go. And together they have publicly defended Eric Holder last summer when GOP lawmakers were sparring with him over a botched border control operation. Now they defer to each other, they talk to each other, and they should get a lot of credit for advancing some part of their cause, because they are also sometimes seen, and I'm getting this from this article, from the special edition, which I'm very, very impressed with. You know, they usually talk weekly, and as Benjamin Jealous, who is the CEO of the NAACP, he said they usually talk sometimes late at night. There generally is a willingness among each of the latter to make time if any one of us needs it on a topic, so he says. If folks need to coordinate, we can be on the phone within a few hours. So here, we're glad to hear that. We're glad to, this makes the whole movement, this brand new powerful movement, more powerful by combining these organizations together and working together in a very cohesive way, and that's exactly what they're doing. And I think, too, that they were brought to this with the Zimmerman acquittal. You know, the leaders agreed to jointly draft a letter to Eric Holder, the attorney general, pressing him to continue investigating the case and pursue civil rights charges. They also organized a mass conference call for a couple of nights later that included almost 600 activists and organization heads from across the country. And they're saying in this article that the call was a chance for everyone on it to let the others know how they were responding to the Zimmerman verdict. And you know what that was. The Zimmerman verdict meant that George Zimmerman had murdered Trayvon Martin in the stand your ground nonsense. Anyway, Al Sharpton, founder and president of New York-based National Action Network, is quite involved also. And there hasn't been huddles for strategy as much as there are information strategy going on, information sharing. Isn't this exciting? These days, as the CEO of the head of the NAACP, Jealous, says that he seems happy to defer and talk to Reverend Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, founder of Rainbow Push Coalition in Chicago, and a few other people. So the relationships began to gel in 2005. Get this, everyone, in the aftermath of the New Orleans area, the Hurricane Katrina, when people were stranded in New Orleans, and there were such terrible conditions, people were killed. There was so much wrong with that they got together and they started talking, and it's leading into probably one of the most powerful, you know, join together meetings or organizations in a long time since the March on Washington. But really, you should get this. It's really interesting. Gives a lot of information. They talk in this magazine, too, about the Voting Rights Act of 1965, how that left a completed legacy. Now, if it sounds like I am turning pages, that's because I am, because there is so many things, you know, involved in this. It gives a whole, you know, some information about how the march started, what's happening with it, and this new powerful movement. That's the thing that I can't get over. We're going to be opening up the phones in case you want to call and talk. We're going to be hearing from Monique Jackson. She is an attorney and an activist from Newark, you know, from New Jersey, as a matter of fact. She moved to Washington and also into Maryland. She also, when she was there, she ran for office. She ran for city council. It was amusing to me because when Monique first moved there and she became involved in all kinds of activity, all kinds of activist organizations, she ran for office and she won. And what she did as a result was she decided to try to name different blocks after African American icons, after African American people who were really involved in the struggle. The struggle still continues to this day. And what she did was she named several blocks after famous African Americans. For instance, one of the blocks was named the Harriet Tubman block. And she also named 8 or 9 streets of the more with different names of different icons. Leontine Price block, Bessie Coleman block, Phyllis Wheatley block, Kelly Gibson block, and so forth and so on. I think she had more than one block named the Harriet Tubman block. Anyway, we will be talking to her when she comes in, when she calls in from Washington or from, where is it, Maryland, and really interesting stuff. But to go on with what we're doing, let me give out a number for you all to call should you want to, you know, continue conversations about, you know, the march, the coming march on Washington, which was 50 years ago, by the way. And yes, I was there. That was 50 years ago. Very, very young, however, but we were there. Kay Thompson Live here, everyone. The number for you to call is 323-679-0906. That's 323-679-0906. Eric Payne, my son, is on assignment, and he will be here, you know, next week, as usual. And we are going to be continuing with this as we go along. Now, I am wondering if I have a call. Do we have any calls? In fact, we have 5 minutes before break. So to continue, what else is in this newspaper? Oh, by the way, got to tell people this. Dr. Darrell Joseph Moore has been appointed Dean of the College of the Arts and Communication at William Patterson University. Now, Dr. Moore, or Darrell Moore, is an educator, an arts administrator, a graphic designer, and he has a lot of experience in visual communication, and he is a native of New York. He has just returned from California, where he was serving as Dean of the College of Arts and Communication. That is, he returned from California to serve as Dean of the College of Arts and Communication at William Patterson University in Wayne, New Jersey. And he has so many experiences that he brings to William Patterson. He is a very special young man and a friend of mine. As a matter of fact, he was one of my students years ago. And he will provide strong administrative and academic leadership to an already outstanding program in art, communication, and music. So, we're glad, I'm glad personally that he is here. He comes to William Patterson from California State University, Stanislaus, where he served as founding dean of the College of the Arts and professor of graphic design. He has provided leadership for a nationally accredited program, now get this, in visual arts, music, and theater. Previously, from 1994 to 2007, he was a faculty member of the Department of Art and Design at Montclair State University, okay, where he held the position of department chair. Now, I'm going to be having, Darrell on, on the show in the very near future. He's a brilliant young man. He has held a number of positions in advertising, design, and illustration in corporate and graphic design environments. He was the founder of the Center for Design Education and Research, also Simpatico Design Consultancy. Moore was also a founding partner of the Visual Communications Group in Princeton, New Jersey. That makes him sound old. That also makes me sound a lot older. Now, this is what I was getting to. He began his professional career as a freelance children's book illustrator with illustrations and animations published by a wide range of clients, including Macy's and so forth, a whole lot of other people. Now, I'm really tickled to hear that because I didn't know that about Darrell. And so he's done a lot of these children's books. Now, I'm tickled about that because of the fact that I have written, I have scripts for several, I guess about 11 children's books. And I've been saying for a long period of time that I'm going to have them published. When my children were very young, I used to tell them those stories. One of the stories that I told them was named Kitty Cat and Pity Pat and the Flying Dancing School. Those of you who know me, you know that I used to have the Thompson Dance Studio in Newark, New Jersey. Also, when I was teaching school, we also had that and a couple other businesses. As a matter of fact, when I was very young, I swore that I was going to be prima ballerina of the Western world. There's only one thing wrong with that whole idea. The world was not ready. Although, we did have a lot of fun at the dance studio, and I get a lot of information and emails from a lot of my students, fellow students who have attended or who attended the You know, the Thompson's answer. Yeah. Stay with us, everyone. We're going for a break right now. I'm Kay Thompson, and this is Kay Thompson Live. Stay with us. We will be right back.
For good eating and safety in the path to the network with the best rap will hook you up fast. They keep it crispy with the 411 they feeding you right, chopping it up, dishing it out. It's tasting good but don't bite. The recipes are sublime and info fresh off the vine. They keep you GMO free because be you all what you eat. Now if you too busy chewing on the FAT fat wag, tune into the F to the O to the O to D food rap. Listen to the kitchen on the show with the utmost. I need a D and Shauna G, your fly MC chef host.
Food rap, food rap, food rap, food rap.
It's time to eat better. I know you feel the pressure. Can I get a yes, yes, sir? A yes, yes, sir? For the hot show on the block, from the street to the hood. Keep it locked. Don't forget to talk. Never taste it so good.
Oh, yeah, delicious.
Put that pork
pizzas, hamburgers, and french fries. Oh, yeah. All the fast food I can eat. Oh, no, I can't. Oh, no.
One love.
I'm hungry. Hey, my stomach growling.
Brussels sprouts. Food rap. Go Pro Radio Network. Need a Markel. Sonic Glover. Let up.
That's it.
You're listening to content developed by the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head.
And we are back, everyone. We are back on Kay Thompson, and this is Kay Thompson Live. Still waiting for a call from Moonyin Jackson. Is she on the air right now? Want to say hello to
Nicole Rollins.
Speak into the mic.
Nicole Rollins.
And
Adrian Rollins.
My husband.
Oh, my goodness. How are you?
All right. How are you?
I haven't seen you in a long time. We saw each other the other day to renew friendships and whatnot. I just got finished talking about the Thompson Dance Studio.
Yeah.
So we're going to get back to that in a minute. We're going to be taking the call from Moonyin Jackson in Washington or in Maryland. Moonyin, are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
Oh, fine. How are you? Did you hear me on the air talk about how you were naming all those streets?
She ran yes, for and office. I did, and I'm proud of it.
She ran for office. She is an attorney, and she was Newark, born and bred, right?
No, I wasn't born in Newark, but I spent many years there. Yeah, I came to the bar in Newark, though. I went to law school there, yeah.
Yeah, where'd you go, Rutgers?
Seton Hall.
Seton Hall, okay. Yeah,
and then Seton Hall.
You know, Newark right now is known as the Center for Higher Education in the state of New Jersey, you know that? Because there are about seven different colleges down there, you know? Yeah.
Oh, yes.
That's a lot. Yeah.
It is. Well,
but
I used to be associate. Good.
Go ahead.
No,
go
I said ahead. I was associate counsel at one point for the Newark Board of Education. That's one of the things I did. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
You want to tell us about how you ran for office in Maryland or Washington and then started naming the blocks after the
Well, you know, they really do. They're about sick of me. But I came to office really. I was drafted. The mayor had said that there was no racial discrimination, and there's so much going on. So I decided to speak for the voiceless, you know. And then the time came for somebody to try to actually do something. That would concern primarily the African American population, in my view. That was my angle, and and then everybody else too. But anyway, I ran in 2001 and won. And I have to give credit to Larry Stalks and some of the other Newarkers because they taught me how to count votes. See, they told me how to find the people and count them, and so I was sitting in the yard counting. Said, okay, we don't have X person and Y person. Somebody go get them.
and then I ran
for a second term, and it was during that second term. The terms are 4 years, by the way. And it was during that second term in 2007 that an African-American developer came to town, McDaniel's Company. And I asked him if I could name the streets where his development was.
This was where?
In Eastern Maryland.
Eastern Maryland, okay.
Mm-hmm. I live in Eastern Maryland, across the, it's an hour and an hour and change from Washington and Baltimore, across the Bay Bridge. And so he said yes, and he named his complex Douglas Landing for Frederick Douglass.
Uh-huh.
And so I was able to name several streets, Phyllis Wheatley.
You named several streets?
yes.
What were the names?
Phyllis Wheatley, Mary McLeod Bethune, Bessie Coleman, Leontine Price, and two for Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman and Araminta. Araminta was her early name, her actual name.
Yeah.
And one for Kelly Gibson. Kelly Gibson is a youngster, you know, to me.
Yeah.
And she played for the Houston Comets, but she grew up here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so we had a parade, and that never such goings on. And folks wanted to figure out how I got an opportunity to name the streets, and then they said they couldn't pronounce the names, and I had to fight to get the names actually listed. Oh, it was quite something. But then we had a major celebration. We had
anywhere. I love
Oh yeah, and we wanted to make sure that it was known, and so we had the mayor's wife to participate and talk about the expressions for Women's History Month, and then we started talking about Standing on the Rocks, you know, Mom and Them. As well as Phyllis Wheatley and Bethune and all the rest of them, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that was our theme. We're standing on these rocks. And so I'm hoping, you know, maybe to get you down here and some other people, and we can continue to commemorate, because, you know, probably as soon as I leave, they'll change the streets back to,
Listen, maybe we can drum up some trouble when I come down there, you know?
It won't be hard to do if you say my name there. Probably lock you up.
Now, listen, I'm not coming down there to go to jail now. I'm telling you that
No. Well, I've done quite. I'm proud of the efforts and some of the, you know, folks who've come along. And, we did the Frederick Douglass Project, organization called Fred's Army.
Uh-huh.
And, of course... Fred's Army. The majority white council, that's of the county, didn't think that we should have Frederick Douglass on the courthouse grounds. At one point, that was their decision, saying that he had not fought in the Civil War, and that the county lands were hallowed lands only for soldiers who had, actually fought, and I, took umbrage to that, of course, and his sacrifice was far, far greater. There's no greater fight, as far as I'm concerned, a war against the inhumanity that our people suffered, you know. And so we won that battle. It was a battle, and I have to say we had a crossover of people, you know, from different ethnic communities who saw the light. But when I started naming black sculptors and two African-American women as archaeologists, now they said, okay, now you've really gone too far. You know, and so they snatched, part of the, which that troubles me, and we're still trying to fight some of that.
The struggle continues, you know that.
The struggle continues, you know, it does. Mm-hmm. But I'm still here, still standing.
Yeah, sure. Sounds like you're standing tall, too, I'm telling you. Well, I'll be seeing you in Washington, and whenever you want me to come down and participate in that, because I'm doing several other speaking engagements now also, so...
that'd be great. That would really be great. Well, speaking of Washington,
I've got a crazy I don't have to do anything I don't want to do. So, and there may be some passion in there too.
This is an area that could always use some spicing up, you know, from Yeah.
You're not supposed to be dull. You know, you're supposed to do what you want to do and have fun doing it. And, you know, GoPro radio and, you know, internet radio is absolutely fantastic. You know, we don't have the same kind of restrictions that we had working in celestial radio, you know. Plus the fact that WBOS, you know, it's sort of like they have some problems, let's put it that way. And certainly they had a ton of problems when, you know, Percy Sutton passed. You know?
Yes.
Anyway, well, you listen, I have two guests with me in the studio. One is
Nicole Rollins. Mm-hmm. Hi, Miss Mimi. How are you?
And she doesn't complain about her husband.
That would be me.
And you are?
Great
Rollins.
Uh-huh. Mita Munin Jackson from, you know, Washington and Maryland, formerly from Newark. The Metropolitan.
That's right.
Yeah. That's where our business is based out of Newark.
You see that? What's the name of your business?
Direct Delivery.
Direct Delivery.
Which means that what?
Moving and delivery service.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay.
We've been established there for a while now.
So. Really? No kidding.
Absolutely.
Wow. How long have you been in business?
Since 92.
Wow. Okay. Business is good?
It's very
really?
Steady.
Yeah. Really? Terrific. How can people get in touch with you if they wanted to get in touch with you?
Well, you can call at 973-643-2300.
Give that number again.
973-643-2300.
Well, we need for people to get pens and papers out. I always used to say that on WLIB. Monin, you might remember that, you know, because I always had people get pens and papers out because, you know, because the fact that some of the information, you know, you may want to cop down. Thank you. You may want to, you know, copy it down. And I always like to give out information for people, you know, to use.
Well, actually, I like to ask her advice.
Yeah.
Talking about Black history.
Yeah.
The different ways that we could introduce the Black history to some of our children.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically, last night, we have twin girls that are 7 years old.
No kidding, really?
Yes. And for the first time, we saw on Turner Classic Movies, uh-huh. we were watching Gone with the Wind.
Ah.
So I introduced it to them.
Uh-huh. And all the history involved
all
there.
All the history in the Civil War.
Yeah.
And tried to explain to them when they saw Mammy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I tried to start to discuss, or open a discussion, just to see where their mindset was.
Mm-hmm.
Because where they thought we should be, and they couldn't understand where that time was in history.
Yeah.
They really had a little bit of confusion. And they wanted to know, why are they treating her that way?
Yeah.
Why are they treating the soldiers that way?
Mm-hmm.
Why the questions, I was taken back a little, saying, how should I actually answer this question to a seven-year-old? But I think they need to know that.
So now you're asking Mo-Yi?
I'm asking
okay,
Mo-Yi. How would you
answer? Please. They're going into
second grade, Mo-Yi.
Oh, no, listen, I do a mean Harriet Tubman, and I don't mind, I'm not bragging, I'm saying. And I have done it in the public schools for every age group, and I do it for adults. That is what I do. That is my avocation.
Mm-hmm.
And I travel around with my stories about various aspects of Harriet Tubman, and I have some songs that I've written. But for children of that age, one of the things that I leave them with is her courage, and you know, talking about the how wrong it is for anyone to beat someone, you know, or to enslave them. And I talk about it, and I want them to understand that these were mean people.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, you don't stay down. Even a seven-year-old, at seven, they can understand how they can rise above a problem, but it has to be pitched to them.
Yeah.
And then I include them in the scenes, you know, sometimes, depending on the age group. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So,
interaction.
And then they tell me how they felt running away and hiding. And then I show them disguises that she used to get away, and I talk about how clever she had to be. But she had to understand her surroundings, you know. She had to understand the waterways. She had to understand how to dig, you know, for potatoes or dig holes or whatever I'm trying to stress to them. And I then bring it to their own are surrounded, do you know how to get out of your house in case of a fire?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because the idea is how to survive.
Wait a minute.
Hold
on, Munyan.
Was it too early to introduce that to seven-year-olds for the going on?
Well, it's not necessarily too old, but it's how you introduce it. Mm-hmm. And it's my opinion that you should never leave them with the pain and the horror. You know, you have to show them how we survived, or this woman in this particular case survived, or how African-American people survived. You
hold
know,
on,
so
Mon-
you have to bring...
Hold on for a minute, Munyan. Okay, we have another caller. Call, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
Good evening, Kay Thompson. Kay Thompson Live, calling from Bermuda. How are you?
How are you, Gina Payne Scott? Glad to hear your voice. Say hello to Munyan. You remember Munyan?
I don't think so. You know, I feel bad because I didn't hear the beginning of your show, so I really don't know exactly what you guys are talking about.
Okay.
But Munyan, I did want to.
Munyan,
go ahead.
Anyway, we'll go into that later, but I also have Nicole here. Nicole is, what's your last name?
Hi, Rollins.
Rollins, you know, she used to go to the dance school, and she is accompanied by her husband because she's afraid to go any place without him. And he's afraid to go, he's afraid to go any place without her, too, believe me. And listen, and we also have an attorney on the line just to make sure that we don't say anything out of the way.
Oh, Lord. I hope that's not my role.
Well, talking about that, like I said, I didn't have the benefit of hearing what your discussion was earlier, but I did see your post about some of the things you wanted to talk about tonight. So, and I know I can't stay on long, but I would like to put it out there that Obamacare seems to be in the news, and the Republicans are trying to repeal Obamacare. So I would like, you know, some people to give some comments on what they think about that. Also, not to be a negative, a damper, but did anybody happen to be privy to that, in my opinion, very distasteful Russell Simmons video about Harriet Tubman and what the heck was up with that?
No, you know, I heard about that, but I didn't hear all of it. So I don't have any information. Perhaps if somebody in the studio here heard that, maybe you guys are listening to me in the control room.
Can you fill us in?
Yeah. What did he say?
Well, basically, he put a video. He created a video. Apparently, he has a new, I don't know, venture that he's doing. It sounds like a digital TV show or broadcast of some sort, I think. And he created a short video depicting with two actors. Three actors, Harriet Tubman. I really hate to even talk about it. It's really so foul and so base. Having sex with a slave owner.
Mm-hmm.
Because she wants to, and then somehow flipping the script that she's doing this because she's going to make him pay and build the Underground Railroad. It was just such a convoluted, disgusting. I just can't understand what Russell Simmons was thinking.
Well, there was a lot. Unfortunately, I just came back from Disney World with my four, not unfortunately, but I took three of my great nieces, and so I sort of cut myself out of the news loop for a minute. But I did see a statement about the video and how distasteful it was, and so an apology was forthcoming. But since Harriet is one of my sheroes, I am going to view it, you know, and try to have some comments. But I did hear about it. I don't know enough about it. Yeah,
I heard about it, but I didn't. You know, I didn't know what it was all about, nor had I heard anything else about it. It sounds
good. Yeah.
But no one can explain it really. It's just it's just, you know, kind of really a bizarre. But you know, I talking about that to just spin off, and then I'll be quiet because I know you say I talk a lot.
But you've got a lot of good information. You know?
So the one talking about that, when we're speaking about, you know, things like that and how we you know, represent ourselves as a race, I love Whoopi Goldberg, but I take exception to her, not take exception, I just disagree with her opinion about the use of the N-word. I don't know if you've been following The View, where people, you know, some people are saying that the use of the N-word is just, it's just what it is, and we're allowed to use it, but you're not allowed to use it, that whole old argument. I would just like to put it out there that I think we should do away with this word, and it's not okay that it's so common that it just, you know, it, we're desensitized to it. It's, you know, it's such a base, you know, and it evokes so much, so many, you know, negative feelings. And like Oprah said, you know, to say the N-word is such a disrespect to everybody who had to suffer from that when the last thing they heard when they were getting home.
Well, you know, I take a little issue with that. I do say that people who are not within that family, we have to recognize that sometimes it is used in a way that young people, you know, that's my end, you know, my, you know, and they consider it a term of endearment. I don't like it. I don't use it. But let's be a bit realistic. We cannot, at least in my opinion, keep all of the family from using it. But we can say, and I do believe this, that people who are not within that group, like Paula Deen, cannot use it. Mm-hmm. Now, that's my bottom line. Anybody mm-hmm. who is, of course, now I'm going to tell you what my mother said. My mother told me if someone called me a nigger, I don't use the word, you might as well, they call him a white nigger. And what happened was I was in the fourth grade, and that did happen to me, and I did say it, and the person went home crying. You know, how can I be, you know. So it is a word that is, should not be
used.
So we have a whole lot more.
I understand what you're saying, but I completely disagree with that. I think that just be, I think that's something we can, I think it's something we can probably sort of try to change, because I completely understand. I mean,
I think we have more things to worry about, and I'll just be honest with you. There's so much more going on than to try to convince millions of people, and maybe that's just me, millions of people not to use the word. I don't like it, but I mean, there's a whole lot that I don't like, explicit sex on television.
If you take one person at a time, as my mother says, silence gives consent. If we don't take the time to tell one person each time, it'll pass on. It'll pass on, but if we allow it to be said, it's not going to mean anything.
Yeah,
exactly. Even though something is a big problem, doesn't mean we shouldn't try to tackle it. Because guess what? You guys who were there in the civil rights movement, it was such a big problem. If you didn't start to do it, this will never go away. It will go away. It may take time, but it will go away. And you guys are the ones. You and my mother and whoever else is there are the ones who actually, you know, told us that. So, you know, think back on what you did back then. It can be done.
Okay. Well, you're right, and I'm just saying that, I was very much in the thick of the civil rights movement and all the changes on the college campuses and all of those kinds of things. But what I'm saying to you is I think whatever you think is righteous, work on it, you know? Mm-hmm. And if you think so, I wouldn't waste my time, because I know what I did put in as in terms of time during the 60s mm-hmm. and the 70s. And I know how important those things were to me. So if this is your rock, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? I would never tell anybody not to pursue what they think is the most important thing to work on. But I look at the fact that there are so many starving children. You know what I mean? My issues are just different.
Okay.
Well, I completely understand what you're saying, because we only have so many hours in a day to focus on, you know.
Right.
You know, there's so many issues, like that might be in the bottom of your totem pole in terms of importance.
I need for both of you to hang on just for a minute, okay? I think we might be coming up on a break. Are we ready for a break yet or what? Okay, not yet. So anyway, but hold on. Gina, are you still there? Lung Ying, are you still there? Let me see. Are they still there?
Radio.
Okay. So, Gina, Moonin, thanks very much. You know,
okay.
Again, and, you know, just let me know when you want me to come down there, okay?
Oh, I will, and next time we'll talk about the March on Washington, because I was there for the first one.
And, you know, I was there also, so, hey, 50 years ago.
Okay.
You know? Okay.
All right, I'm out.
Good
nice
night, all.
I'm going to keep listening.
Hold on, Gina. Okay. Are you still there?
Okay.
I'm still here.
Gina? Okay, okay.
We have
Nicole here, and Nicole is with her husband from Direct Delivery. That's their company. And I saw her recently, and she wants to change her career. She used to come to the Thompson Dance Studio.
Oh, okay.
When I was about 7 years old.
Wow, yeah. You know what? I was online on Facebook the other day talking to Lavinia Spencer, and she was just reminiscing. Yeah, reminiscing about the studio, as we called it. And, I think you mentioned something about having a Thompson Dance Studio Day, a tribute to Pat, and that would be, I think a lot of students would love that.
Yeah.
Symphony Hall.
Well, you know, we're trying to get the tribute together for Pat, my sister Trish, who passed. Yeah, several months ago. And so we're going to be trying to do that. And we're going to be doing it, as a matter of fact. You know, just coming along very slowly. But a lot of the people who were into the Thompson Dance, so we had to come to the Thompson Dance years ago, have responded. Excuse me, by the way, Gina. So, which is a good thing. Now, let's get to Bermuda. What's going on there in Bermuda? What's the politics like?
Bermuda.
Where's the volleyball?
Things don't change that rapidly in Bermuda, so nothing outrageously new,
uh-huh.
you know, has happened since the last thing that happened. The last thing that happened, coincidentally, however, I tried to call in that day, was Bermuda had passed an amendment to the Human Rights Act, which made it illegal to discriminate against people in the workplace and for where they reside because of their sexual preference, which I thought was a really coup in Bermuda because it's been such a conservative place. And then, ironically, the very next day was when the Supreme Court struck down the no hate. I mean, the bill supporting basically no hate. In California, saying that, you know, same-sex marriage was. So that's the last thing in Bermuda, and I, you know, that's the sort of thing that I am pleased about because, you know, someone's sexual orientation absolutely has no bearing on, you know, how
on
we treat people.
All. On anything at all.
So that's what's happening in Bermuda. Other than that, my beautiful daughter Brianna is getting ready to go to England to school next month, passing by New Jersey, so maybe we'll come on. But Nicole, you said you're about to change careers. What are you looking to do?
Come to Bermuda and be on the air.
And I love Bermuda. I've been to Bermuda before with the pink beaches. I love it. It's very nice here. I haven't been in a long time. I want to take my family up there. That's somewhere that my family, my mom, she always said when you came out of high school, that was going to be your gift to go to Bermuda.
Hey. Mm-hmm.
So I finally
nice
made
gift.
It there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But ironically, the career I'm in now, I'm working for the Head Start program, and we're part of that sequestration that's going on since it's a federally funded program. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to save the programs in New Jersey for all of the young children.
What does it look like?
Challenging. Many people may lose their job.
Yeah, really.
I sat in an 8-hour meeting today just trying to rewrite grants just to see how we can better service the income of the area of the low-income families in certain counties. We're based out of Somerset County.
Out of Somerset, really? Okay.
Yeah, and you would think, I believe it was about 5 years ago, we were ranked 5th in the nation as one of the best counties to live in.
Mm-hmm.
And you forget about the pockets, the little areas in those communities, families that need these services. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to see how to save them when you have a new governor and all of these different regulations and mandates that's coming down. You're trying to get rid of all these federal programs.
Yeah, something,
And what do you do? Mm-hmm. And then you have a handful of parents, teachers, they don't know where to go.
Yeah, exactly.
So what happens
next?
So I don't know. Yeah. All
well,
of
we'll be keeping we'll be keeping up with that, and you can keep us abreast of that, you know. Okay, Gina.
Yes.
Hello.
Okay. Nice talking to you. I'm going to go because my connection is waning right now. But I'm going to hang up and listen to the rest of the conversation. I'm glad I got to call in. And Nicole, keep doing what you're doing with the Head Start program.
Thank you, Gina. Nice talking to you.
Okay.
Nice talking to you also.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay. Bye-bye. Okay. Yeah, she was calling in from Bermuda, and you know, I have different people, you know, filling in. Because Gina also did radio and television, you know, in Bermuda. So, therefore, if I need her to fill in, also, I'll have to pick up the phone and say, look, you're on.
Right.
What am I going to talk about? I said,
right.
Well, you know what to do. Just go ahead and talk. So she was on, and, right. and she's very political. Right. Wonder why, huh?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Get
it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Apple don't fall too far from
yeah, right, right. Yeah. Now, we have a segment called the Political Roundtable. Oh. So, and that Eric has produced that.
Yes,
and he's not here tonight. He's on assignment.
Oh.
You know? And he also works with, you know, he's a consultant in, you know, Donald Payne Jr.'s campaign.
Oh, okay.
And he also is a consultant in, you know, several other things. He also attended the Congressional Boot Camp. Mm-hmm. And that was for young people wanting to, not so young, but for people wanting to, you know, have that congressional background mm-hmm. and interests and how to conduct a campaign, what about issues. How do you do that? In other words, when you go to Washington, what happens? How do you learn? What, you know? Mm-hmm. In fact, with Donald Payne Jr., now we always have a contact, you know, in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, if he is on the floor and he is making a presentation because they have gone over some legislation that has to be voted on, mm-hmm. then we are able to get that information immediately right, you know, to the public,
mm-hmm.
which gives him and also gives us, you know, a lot of information so we can be prepared for whether, you know, when you go to vote, for instance, you know, mm-hmm. you want to know where to stand and what the issues are.
Right.
For instance, I'll just bring this in, the stop and frisk policy.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
mainly in New York.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Yeah,
New York.
Yeah. It's yeah. so infuriating to,
a lot
know,
of people are upset about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, because it is, you know, profiling.
Right.
There's no doubt about the fact that it's profiling.
Right.
You know, for people to come on, you know.
But the
and,
police officers want to keep it.
Oh,
they
sure
feel
they
like,
do.
Yeah, they feel like
they don't mind
it's better.
Beating up blacks and Latinos, though.
Right.
That's their problem.
That's
so,
it. Yeah.
And that's and it is racism. It's racism
yeah.
out and out. Anybody who is for it is for you know what.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so, but, yeah, I feel very strongly about that.
Well, part of the scope of policing is to profile.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
a lot of times, you know, everything you do, no matter what you wear,
mm-hmm.
what you drive, how you carry yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of policing is taught to profile each individual.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they do it unfairly.
Mm-hmm. In a minute. Have you ever been stopped?
Oh, of course.
Really?
Absolutely.
What,
yeah.
just for driving or just for being black, where, when, and who?
Exactly, yeah. yeah.
Tell
yeah.
the
yeah.
name of the cop. No, but where did it happen? Tell us about that experience.
Well,
so
being that I own a trucking company, we drive a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
So it happened on several occasions just for the smallest thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can't get too bent out of shape and upset about it.
Mm.
As long as you have everything that's correct
yeah,
and it's in
yeah.
order, you know, that's all
Has
you can
that
do.
Been in Newark where you were stopping or in New Jersey where you were stopping?
I stopped in Newark. It's outside of Newark.
Outside of
yeah,
Newark.
Yeah, because that's where
South Jersey?
That profiling gets really
yeah.
bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
really
mm-hmm.
does.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's just something that you can't get around because that's the way they're taught.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
But we all can pinpoint it and bring it to people over and over and over and over.
I think it's the way you handle
yeah.
when you're stopped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you take offense to it and give them more ammunition.
In other words, if you slap a cop, you may you may feel like it.
Exactly.
However,
exactly.
However, give sense does take over. Have you ever felt that way?
I felt that way, but I won't act on it.
You're not crazy.
No,
words,
I'm not crazy.
You know,
no,
yeah,
not
yeah.
at all.
Okay, but anyway, you know, I want to check out the Russell Simmons thing. Monine and I were going to be talking about the March on Washington because we had both. I was there,
mm-hmm.
you know, some 50 years ago. Good Lord.
They're having another march
yeah,
to
march,
celebrate
yeah, yeah,
the 50th
yeah.
anniversary.
Yeah, that's why this program is going on right now because
okay.
that's next weekend, I think. I forget the date,
mm-hmm.
but everybody can find that out. And I was telling people about this special edition of the USA Today.
Oh,
and
wow.
Talk about the March in Washington
mm-hmm.
and really a lot of good information here, especially talking about, you know, how I think probably one of the most powerful things that has happened in a long time is the joint cooperation between various, organizations, NAACP, mm-hmm. and then a lot of the other organizations. They've all gotten together and are talking to one another. So now we're talking in one voice. In other words, this group isn't doing something separate. And, you know, because we're all fighting against racism. We are all fighting against mass incarceration, for one thing, you know. You know, and just being wanted to be treated equally. Stopping, you know, fighting against the stop-and-frisk nonsense.
Right.
You know, and for Bloomberg to be, you know, for that, I'm telling you, that's really, you know, the whole thing, you know.
We went down. Adrian went when they had the last call with the men marching on Washington, drilled down. Then when we did the women, we went down just to, for our generation to experience that.
Was
something. This one we'd like to try and go back.
Yeah.
And see if there's something that changed over the years, if there's any progress that was made from out of the last time that we went down there.
Yeah.
What would be the difference?
Well, the progress, the ultimate, not the ultimate, but the close to being the ultimate progress was having an African-American president.
Exactly.
You know, so there has been some progress. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when we have, for instance, early on in WLIB, you had the Muslims, you had the Jesse Jackson people, you had the, you know, Jesse Jackson, Wyatt Walker were the same, you know, group, but you had the Muslims, you had, you know, all different kind of organizations. And they were, it was like fractured. But to say now that in the paper that the NAACP and none of the other, you know, social organizations are getting together, that's power.
Mm-hmm.
That is power. Because let's face it, if not for African Americans coming out to vote,
right,
he never would have gotten
it
at all.
Been, right.
And especially women.
Power in numbers. Stronger in numbers.
Yeah, but women, African American women, came out with, you know, I forget the numbers, a huge vote.
Right.
For him. Anytime you have to stand in line for days to vote, you know, there's some serious stuff going on.
Well,
and this is exactly what should happen, you know, from now on with anybody else running, you know, who is, you know, realizing these problems.
Well, we went down for the second inauguration, but I truly believe that the second one was even more important than the first one.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that shows it's not a fluke.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he really was the best candidate for the job.
That was so true. And I know a lot of people think that, oh, well, you know, we're against Obama. You know, sometimes some people can be very naive when it comes to politics. In other words, for you to get things done, you have to do this and so. You just can't get back there and you know, talk about the person when you don't know the whole political thing, the whole political structure and how it works.
Right.
And who to go to for whatever. And you have strength in numbers, strength in organization.
Yeah.
And some people say, well, there's no race. Well, you know, that's BS. You know, that's very naive and very young and, you know, very kind of stupid. Let's put it that way.
I don't know if the goal is to eradicate racism, because racism is something that comes from within and it's kind of tough to control that. But I think the goal should be more to focus on eradicating equality and try to build equality in all the judgments that's being made.
Yeah.
So that it's not, you know, so that it's not based off of race.
Yeah. For instance, somebody being incarcerated.
Right.
We have mass incarceration.
Right.
Now, you know, good, well, it doesn't make sense that, you know, so many people are committing crime. And at the same time, you know, but the numbers of black men and black women far outnumber everybody else.
Right.
Well, that's impossible.
Well, we don't.
We all know that black people get more, you know, crime and time.
Right.
Not more crime, but more time than whites. It's like a new form of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because let's face it, you know, the jails are big business.
Oh, I was just about to.
Yeah, they are modern. They are I mean, come on.
They're building more jails and schools.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely.
And they're putting more money into them.
Yeah.
Anytime you have an NFL player go to jail for dog fighting and go to jail for that, but you can't have a man who, with Trayvon Martin, get convicted for
stand your ground kind of stupidity.
What do you do?
Yeah.
What do you do?
You gather together with the organization that you can, you fight against it, period. That's the only thing we can do. And that's it. We put in a black president. Let's keep, you know, an African-American president or a Latino president, but someone who is not racist.
Right.
Yes, racism exists, and it's going to be here forever.
Right.
Who cares? As long as you don't step across the line, you know, taking away my rights.
Right.
You know, okay, right. I want to be treated fairly.
Right.
You know, and so
right.
should a whole lot of other people, and including the kids in school.
Right.
You know, there has to be enough money going into the school system so they have an adequate, you know, excellent, you know, 1 minute to show's in already? Oh, my God. Really, Shauna? Wow, how did that happen? Who was I talking to? I was talking to Munin, who names these streets after everybody. I love that.
You got to get down there.
Yeah. She's in Eastern Maryland, okay. and she was a dynamite attorney, and she still is.
Okay.
And but it's really fantastic. And I'm going to say congratulations to Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton is an old friend.
Mm-hmm.
I met him a long time ago when we were on WLIB trying to fight the good fight,
mm-hmm.
you know, fight all the racism that was going on, and so
I don't know what we'd do without him.
The Reverend, Reverend Al Sharpton is okay.
That's right.
Okay,
yes,
and
yes.
I have to give it to MSNBC for having so many African Americans, Latinos, and everybody else. Ah, anyway, Shauna saying go, you end. It's time to get off the air. Thank you for coming, Nicole. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
We'll come back again.
Absolutely.
Right.
Without question.
Kay Thompson here, everyone. Join us next week for Kay Thompson Live.